Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Some words of wisdom from Randall. Go ahead, please.
Right. Just before the break, we were talking about this phenomenon where when you get multiple sources of information, they can be collated to create something that's more coherent. Researchers Albert Cao from Harvard University, Andrew Berdahl from Santa Fe Institute, and their colleagues examined how accurate our collective intelligence is and how individual bias and information sharing skew aggregate estimates. Using their findings, they developed a mathematical correction that takes into account bias and social information to generate an improved crowd estimate. In the study, their corrected measures were more accurate than the median and other traditional statistics. So, there's maybe kind of an interesting tool. That's what I was trying to get at with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Those are the kind of tools we need to be able to get. I don't think that they're readily available to investigators, but that would be nice if they had that kind of tool. I think ultimately it's a situation where you've got an investigator that goes out, does a case analysis, who actually, to be honest with you, is not a scientist, but ultimately has an interest in the UFO phenomena that maybe passed a test. And he's going out and doing this case study, and he comes up with a conclusion, and he puts that in a nice little report and says that, well, it's unidentified according to him. The next thing should happen is if it's a good case, it ought to be looked at by a group of team of like a peer review kind of process or something of that nature, and truly looked at from a scientific standpoint if it passed the test. And if it doesn't pass the test, then fine. If you can take it to the next level and utilize some other kinds of tools, I think we should do that. But that's not what's happening in the UFO world.
Yeah, and that's why we need groups like yours, Richard. The Coalition for UAP Studies, I believe, is what it is now. It used to be ufology, but you broadened it out into UAP, and I don't have a problem with that. Maybe for those who really, we know who you are and what you do, but for those who maybe might be tuning in for the first time, can you just explain a bit about what it is that you do at the SCU and who you are?
Sure. We're now effectively 100 people strong. We got our 100th member, which was Diane Gleason, and we're going to recognize her with something we haven't decided yet. But anyway, we're excited about our 100th member coming on board. We are a coalition, and we've now moved into a contributorship as well, kind of membership, if you would, where you're tied it a little bit more and you get some benefits. But it's a coalition of like-minded people who tend to be thinking more along the lines of science, if you would, and using scientific method. We're composed of everything from physicists to psychologists to computer specialists to engineers to chemists to mathematicians. We've got a lot of professors that we've got. I think 24% of our people are something like PhDs. And so we're basically putting in a peer review process for our studies that we do. We've got a newsletter now, and we've also are putting in a process for a journal to be able to publish our own scientific journal on UFOs. It'll be a first. In that
right.
regard.
I just, actually, I was on your site earlier, doing some pre-show and was checking out the SCU review. Looks good. You were talking about some of the metamaterial analysis from the Ubatuba explosion. That's pretty interesting. We've got a lot of, and we were getting into talking about spectral analysis and content, big in magnesium. It seems like this is a common factor with these reports. There was another case where, according to one of the ufology books, there was a jet scrambled to chase a UFO over the Great Lakes, came in and then chased it over the land for a while and actually took a shot at it. And according to the book, this piece fell to the ground and it turned out to be magnesium. And we keep seeing this magnesium element popping up time and time again.
Yep. I know I've seen that in studies myself. If you'd like, let me tell you some of the studies we're doing.
Sure.
You be interested? Okay,
yeah.
So Tim Oliver, for example, one of our members, is doing a UAP anti-gravity propulsion and effects study. And this is what he says. The project focuses on the interactions of UAP with Earth's media of water and air. It will utilize computational fluid dynamics. The working hypothesis is that many aspects attributed to the phenomena, specifically lack of contrails, no sonic booms, absence of sound, and distinct effects on clouds, lack of heat emissions, etc., may be explained by an anti-gravity or reverse gravity force field and exerted and centered from the physical craft. So that is one of our studies. We have another study that's going on, which is called the Intentions UAP study. And what that is we're looking at UAP incidents that relate to nuclear, at least production sites, as well as nuclear sites, but initially focusing on the production sites. And so we're taking a look at Hanford, Oak Ridge, Los Alamos, Kirkland, Sandia, and the Manzano areas for UFO reports. And we're going and scanning through that to see if we can make any kind of assertions that there is a connection to nuclear sites and when and why that they happened and looking at that, the frequency of them, when did they happen, did they continue to go on, and so forth. That's another study. We have another one, which is UAP classifications and scoring system. They're actually looking at developing a classification process there. We've also got another study going on where we're looking at USOs in the context of being able to see what we can derive in the way of USO reports and frequencies and locations around the Earth. So we have a lot of very good things going on. In addition to that, we have an intelligence team, intelligence advisors, and national security, and we're connecting into the intelligence world. And so we're actually looking to be able to, we're investigating the Kolaris incident. That was in Brazil a number of years ago, and it was very interesting.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I don't know exactly too much myself. It's a Brazilian case.
Yeah, that just an overview is fine. Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, it seemed to be that this island off of the coast of Brazil was having a large number of sightings and it almost was the point where it seemed like it was an invasion going on. And in that context, it was we got a part of our team that are wanting to take an interest from the intel side world to see if we can get any information shared by the Brazilian intelligence people, if you would. So I don't know that much about the case other than the fact that I just told you. And it's been like, I think it was, I want to say maybe like in the, you know, 3 decades ago or something of that nature. And I'm not sitting in front of a computer per se to be able to, or at least I can look it up for you. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is that we've got a lot of different projects on our plate that we're working to do. We're putting out a process to be able to actually derive some sort of an intelligent estimate, if you would, that we can share with leaders. We've made contact with a variety of people on the Hill. We've also got an individual that's been written up on the drive. One of our members is Doug Johnson, and Doug has been writing about the Colorado drone mystery, and that's been expanded out to the point that there's others that I've been able to share with him, and he's been able to go after and get FOIA information on, where these things are mysterious drones that they can't identify are going over nuclear sites as well as some of our other sensitive locations and ranges. So he's doing an amazing job with putting that together. We've got another study that's going on where we're looking at the aurora. When you think about the aurora borealis in connection with UFOs.
Let's stop at the aurora borealis. Because it's coming down to land on my front lawn. I don't have a front lawn. I'm just making that up to segue to the ads. More to come with Randall, Gene, and Richard in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Tell us more, Rich Hoffman, about the Aurora Borealis and forget my crazy talk.
Problem.
Well, I'm glad most people forget it.
No, I don't. No, Gene, hearing from you is always a great thing. I like to hear from you. By the way, that flap, it was in 1977 in Colares. I did some checking there very quickly. So we're trying to look into that because it was considered to be very interesting by the intelligence community.
Yeah, there was a lot going on back in the mid-70s. That's when I saw the one I saw in B.C. There was a lot of interesting sightings back around then.
Yes. If you saw the episode this year, I'm not sure which one it was, number three or four of the Unidentified on History Channel. There was an incident where I think it was a refueling tanker maybe, that was flying along and it saw the aurora ahead, and there was a UFO that was reported in that. There's other cases where that same kind of thing, the aurora, and might be a coming in play. When I talk with even Erling Strand in Norway about his studies with the Hestelin effect, he said, well, he felt that it was connected to somehow the magnetosphere. Anyway, we're looking at that as well. So that's another study. There's a lot of things that we're doing, and we're going to be having, again, like I said, our next conference in a year from now. Hopefully we'll be able to have it, and we'll be able to talk about some of these things that we're doing.
I think it's pretty interesting that you're looking into the anti-gravity angle. That's one that people have been looking into for a long time. I know it goes back seriously as far as Paul R. Hill, who used to be a NASA engineer at one point. You probably know who I'm talking about. And he had his own sighting, and that's what he figured was going on. And I've had the same sentiment about it myself ever since I was a kid, basically, because my older brother and his wife saw one, and I thought the only way these things could do that is some sort of anti-gravity propulsion system. So I think we're on the right track there, but how are we going to figure that one out? That it seems just so beyond our understanding at the present time.
It is. And I think that what we're dealing with overall has always been beyond our understanding. And so if you take a look at where we've been, and the objects are not really doing anything different that they didn't do back in the 1950s. They stop in the middle of the air. They shoot off at incredible rates of speed. They go to hypersonic speeds. They go in the water. They come out of the water. They go up in space, if you would, with the same object. We can't take a sub and go put it up in the air. We can't take an aircraft and go put it in space. Ultimately, we design things to be able to work in each of those respective mediums, but not go across all three. These objects do that. We're dealing with a phenomenon we don't understand. It doesn't produce any sound. It makes 90-degree turns on a dime. Doesn't have any indication of propulsion systems as we think of them. And so what's making them move around? And then how can they appear on radar 1 minute, and the next minute they're not on radar? How is it that they can be visible 1 minute and seem to disintegrate in the middle of in front of our eyes? We like to put things in the context of words that we know from TV, so we call it cloaking. You know, it must be like a Romulan spacecraft, you know, or something like that.
Well, but that makes sense, though, too, because, I mean, we're even working on scientific devices, you know, that make it seem like things can disappear. Well, that's becoming within our technological ability now.
Yeah, and so they've been doing it all along, okay? So we keep attempting to catch up to where these things are and to do those kinds of things, and that's great. I mean, I'm more power to them. But they've been doing it for a lot longer, and they've been here doing it, and we often want to keep throwing up this thing and saying, well, these objects must be from, like, the Japanese, or it must be from the Russians. Well, were they doing it back then?
No,
they weren't doing it back then.
You know, you're doing a real good harmony. Let's just put some music to it. I'm seriously speaking, when we get to subjects like this about what's going on and all that, what's your take about this Pentagon task force about UFOs? Or UAPs, excuse me.
Yeah. Personally, I think that what's happened is ultimately that, well, I know that, you know, the TTSA team had a play in helping it to get the Marco Rubio and helping him to get this National Defense Authorization Act to allow for that to happen. And, of course, they got the bill passed, and then they set up the Pentagon Task Force. If you recall that the task force was already in the DOD, and if you would, the previous project, 8A-TIP, started off, it was OSAP, and it moved from underneath the helm of DIA, and then it moved over into the Pentagon. And so they've had that team that was there. They've changed the name of it. It's no longer AA Tip, if you would. They went kind of underground. Well, I think that this is resurrecting that team, if you would. And they're going to resurrect that group of people and potentially others to be able to help study this and come up with a definitive, yeah, we need to keep looking into it, or yeah, we need to find out what the heck they are, or we need to find some way to attack this topic, because what you've got are crafts that are around military exercises over military ranges, and the fact that the fact that they're flying around tells us that we are not in control of our skies, and we don't even know what the heck they are, and maybe we should put some time and attention to that, right? So let's get NORAD. Let's get everybody engaged in something, and they'll probably come up with a recommendation that says something along that line.
Okay, but we've heard this all before, right? I think really that they know a lot more already than we do, and this kind of segues into the whole idea of disclosure. They've got to know more than we know, because they've got all of the sophisticated equipment to track this stuff and to figure out what it is.
No, they don't have to know. What I'm trying to tell you is it's not the mission of the Air Force to go or the Navy and everybody to go study and report UFOs. In fact, they don't. They shut up about them. They don't even mention them. It doesn't even make it through the command chain. And so, consequently, nobody brings it up. Nobody's talking about it. And we want to think that the good old big government's got all these tools and they're focused on UFOs. No, if they see something on their scopes, they just shut up about it and they don't report it to anybody.
Okay, wait a minute. You're saying it's not their job. I think it is their job to be able to figure out what these unidentified craft are that are entering our airspace. And we know that they send jets after them.
I don't disagree, and I'm not saying, you know, let me clarify to you that what I'm saying is the defense of the military for any country is to know about those. I mean, what's up in the sky and what's under the water, and it should be that. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you take a look at just where their focus is, it's not about UFOs. They've kind of blew it off. They don't even see it as a threat. It's somebody else making a mistake, or they saw something or whatever like that. And
you figure it's just incidental, and then, you know, you will get some anomalous event that happens and it just goes into a cardboard box, or not even that far. People just go, oh, well, you know, we'll file the report, and that's all that happens with it.
Here's all that's happening with Randall, Gene, and Rich in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Here in Oregon, it's hard to breathe because of the thick smoke. USA Radio's John Hunt has more.
As fires continue throughout the West Coast, hundreds of firefighters are now battling two large wildfires that threaten to merge near the most populated part of the state of Oregon, including the suburbs of Portland. And the governor said dozens of people are missing in other parts of the state. The state's emergency management director, Andrew Phelps, said officials are preparing for a mass fatality event, and that thousands of structures have already been destroyed. Governor Kate Brown said more than 40,000 Oregonians have already been evacuated, and about 500,000 are in different levels of evacuation zones, either having been told to leave or to prepare to get that done. The Oregon Convention Center in Portland is among the buildings being transformed into shelters for evacuees. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
This is USA Radio News. Colorado's Secretary of State filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. Postal Service over mailers that contain inaccurate information about mail-in voting. Jenna Griswold said her office learned Thursday that the Postal Service would send mailers to every household in the U.S. with information about mail-in voting. The mailers advise voters to request a vote-by-mail ballot at least 15 days before Election Day, and to return the official ballot at least 7 days before the election. But the instructions don't account for the variation in state rules. Colorado, Hawaii, and Oregon, for example, don't require individuals to request mail-in ballots because every registered voter already gets one. According to Griswold, secretaries of state in five other states have contacted her to request copies so they could explore the possibility of filing their own suit. In Washington State, which also runs elections exclusively by mail, the Secretary of State criticized the mailer on Twitter. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, Randall, they file it in Warehouse 13.
You know, yes, we want to believe that the government or some aspect or some part of the government that is like so classified that basically nobody else around them knows anything about it. And that may be accurate. Maybe there is a part of it, but they're so buried and so hidden that you'd never get to them or you never find out what they know. And it's not like they're sharing their information with the rest of the DOD. Like, should I believe my general down there understands? I work at the with the Army. My four-star general has access to that information? Hell no. And do you think that he knows about that? No. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that if you think of that there's a concerted part of the government that is out doing this and that it's maybe buried, and I don't know what it is in Canada. I don't know what it is in other countries. But I'm telling you that you'd never get to it from here.
But then we've got that ATIP, though. I mean, everybody was saying that, and Colonel Alexander, John Alexander, he was saying, well, he went looking, couldn't find anything, and then all of a sudden we find out that there's been this investigation that's been going on in some level, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and that this whole Nimitz thing was part of it, and then that they actually had footage of this thing and pilot testimony, and that it did go to a department, and that a person, Elizondo, was able to get copies of this and bring it out into the public. And finally, they just admitted, well, yeah, we've had this all along. So
let me clarify.
There's an exception to the rule there.
That was not a per se broad-based UFO program looking at sightings all across the country, taking public reports. It was only looking at military cases that they had where they were trying to look at it from the threat context. And it was limited in its scope. What I'm talking about is a more than limited Yeah, what about the John Q. public that sees them? What about the people that are out in shipping lanes that see them that are not military? And that's not happening.
No, that's what they did back with Blue Book, and then we haven't really had anything like that since.
Correct. And it's not until now that you're starting to see where when the doors and the veils were opened up that they said, well, they were going to have the Navy starting to have people report them. Okay, well, now they're trying to encourage people to report them, and that all along they've been shutting up and dismissing them, and commanders silence people that want to talk about them.
Yeah, do you think that they're going to really start reporting them, or do you think it's going to become this thing where, well, we know we can report them, but you know what happens if you do?
Well, no, I mean, there's a cultural change that has to happen. So I don't know that it's going to happen overnight, but I think that ultimately it's a situation where if you have an official program that stood up, you might stand a better chance of getting somebody that's going to be able to take it and to talk about it. But I don't think it's going to be the heel-all because you've got a culture that's there that's not going to change again overnight. It's going to take a long while before that opens up.
But maybe you guys with the SCU, I mean, you guys are kind of positioning yourself to be a good liaison if something like that does happen.
We're trying to be able to do that. We want to be able to see if we can get some sort of a connection or a role to that and to play some aspect, whether we could get information passed to us or not that's maybe unclassified or whatever like that. But they are going to be classifying it because it's within the intelligence community. And we're talking about potential threats over our areas of concern where we're flying and having missions or whatever. So there is a concern, and I'm sure that there's going to be a good part of it that's going to be classified. And we're hoping that something will be unclassified enough that we could do something with it.
I mean, if you're thinking that the government is just going to come out and have a big press conference and tell everybody that it's happened, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. There's this, what they call the trickle-down disclosure. And organizations like yours are perfect if they want to do it that way.
Yeah, well, we hope. So that's where we're on our intelligence side of the house. They're trying to make inroads and to be able to make connections with the congressional people and various other people that will help us to be able to maybe do something with that.
When people talk about this, Rich, I'm being jaded because you and I go back a long way.
Yep.
NICAP was doing this in the 60s and the 50s.
Yep.
Went, where did it go? It went to the Condon Report, and now we have this incredibly polarized climate.
Yep.
Where people talk about everything else. And the UFO thing gets covered, and it gets covered seriously, or the UAP thing, and then it disappears in the middle of Bob Woodward's new book and all the other crazy nonsense that's going on.
Yep.
And unless things settle down, no matter what they do, no matter what they know, no matter what they say, it's just going to roll off our backs, except for crazy people like us.
Yeah, exactly. John Q. Public out there is, you know, going on with their day, worried about the COVID thing, worried about their economy, getting their jobs. Do you think that they give a hang about the UFO subject? Nah. And so if you don't have that continual, how do I want to say it, media attention, alerting people or making some sort of like, you know, getting some sort of newsletters out, papers out or something, you know, it's going to go by the wayside. And that's why I think Lou and all them got into the using History Channel as a means of, you know, educating people about it and getting the word out.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, though, Rich, is that we've had UFO reality shows. We had In Search Of. It goes back decades. And so you have a million people or 500,000 people watch these shows, and then they watch the ghost show. And what difference does it make? I'm being jaded here.
No, I know. But there are some good things going on. Like, are you familiar with the fact that Japan's Minister of Defense is now discussing an alliance with U.S. Department of Defense on UFOs or UAPs?
No, tell us a little bit more.
Okay, well, basically now that what you have is that they're looking at getting an expansion or interpretation of what they call the General Security of Military Information Agreements established, probably. And then that will allow the two governments to be able to work together. But they're actually having conversations with us about that. And I think that you also saw, if you did see the unidentified show, that a good number of these, Lou was going around to different countries, like Brazil, Chile, Peru, and a number of other countries. And that was also to establish an alliance, if you would, with the rest of the world on the subject. So I think that what's happening is in the background, you know, forget about the general public, but if you can get the governments at least working together on this thing, you might be able to now have a better chance of at least getting something moving, if you would, on finding out and sharing information on the subject of UFOs. It's kind of like what, if you remember the mock hearings that were held up on the Hill at the press club, what was it, 2013 or something like that?
Right, yeah, yeah, the National Press Club disclosure.
Yeah, the outcome and the recommendation was to get something through to, I believe, the UN, right? And so if you potentially could get something on an international scale built, and I think that this is from what I see where TTSA is wanting to try to go next, that it ultimately that's going to benefit us.
Have you tried networking with them?
Yeah.
Are they cooperative, or what's your experience like?
No, I mean every one of them are cooperative. I mean, I work with Lou. I work with Hal Putoff. We work with Chris Mullen. We work with all of them. Chris Mullen helped put our Nimitz report and shared it with others up on the Hill. And so we're working and collaborating and talking with each other all the time.
The thing I wonder about here, too, with all the politics and the crazy things, is will there be an October surprise about this? This might be something for Trump to get up there and say something out of turn, because he's already admitted that there's some secret nuclear weapon that he was not supposed to have admitted. So I can always wonder if something like that would happen. It might be everybody's dream, but then we have to break. More to come. With Rich, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Continue, Rich Hoffman, and I was throwing out one of my crazy quilt conspiracy theories. Trump's October UAP surprise. Of course, if he loses in November, we will forget that. I mean, literally speaking here, we are at a stage, Rich, I don't know if you'll disagree, that Trump could bring out E.T. on the White House lawn. Here he is. Here is Orthon from Zeta Reticuli. And nobody will believe it other than his supporters.
Yep. More than likely. Yeah, precisely. I mean, you know, if you made the announcement, would anybody believe it? I mean, you know, I mean, come on. There's so many jaded beliefs, and we have such division in the country about anything. I don't know if you could ever get anybody to agree to anything anymore.
Suppose what happens if a UFO lands and nobody came?
Yeah, exactly. Gene, you and I go back to where we watched that original version of, what was it, the Daily
Earth still
yeah. Right. Yeah, can you imagine if that happened now? Would anybody believe it? No, it would be a false flag. It would be somebody saying that, no, it's staged. No, it's
fake
Hollywood.
News.
No,
it's fake news, man.
It's fake news. I mean, you can see it right now. They've been going crazy right now. They say,
no, it's QAnon. No, it's Antifa.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, this is crazy, but this is the way it is. On the other hand, where that leads us is we probably won't be able to settle down with anything that's going on there until after the election, after the new people, if there are any, are sworn in. After that's all resolved, maybe then we can deal with it. Right now, we can't. Right now is a great time, though, to reveal everything and say we disclosed it. Oh, you did? All right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. How many people would even remember? I think you make a really good point there, Rich, when you talk about public motivation, because right now we're so wrapped up with so many other things that are of immediate importance to us. But at the same time, we had Chris Rutkowski on recently on our show, really excellent researcher up here in Canada. I wouldn't be surprised if he says he won't join any particular movement or organization. He maintains his independence, but he does collaborate with them.
Well, he's one of our coalition SU members.
Oh, is that right? Well, we're going to have to just say, hey, Chris, you know, what's this? What's going on here? Anyway, he did say that during this whole pandemic, the sighting numbers are actually up, according to the Canadian UFO report. So, yeah. You know, it's not like people aren't interested. People are still seeing them. And I believe in the media, I was reading not too long ago, it still ranks up in the top 10, if not the top 5 subjects that attract people's attention. And that's probably why you see a lot of fake headlines about UFOs, because they know it's going to generate a certain amount of clicks.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing about YouTube videos that are out there on subject. They create fake UFO videos and they put them out there, and then people get clicks on them and they get a little bit of money on it.
We, by the way, had someone on the show like a long time ago. I think they call themselves Third Phase of Moon.
Yeah.
And I noticed the other day we have a section in our forum. Not in our forum, it's actually on the website, where they check for broken links. And this way we don't send people to places that don't exist anymore. And that original link for that place is gone. So maybe these people faking UFO pictures were replaced by other people faking UFO pictures. But you see, that even makes it more and more difficult to actually get a hold of legit sightings.
Right. And they're out there basically damaging the credibility of the subject. And it's just pathetic. But I'm going to be doing a History Channel show. They're going to be in my house filming next week. But it's all on videos and how you'd go out about analyzing UFO videos and what we did with Aguadilla and how do you do that analysis of these types of things. And you could go on the YouTube and see and type in the words that you want to be able to do on the search of how to fake UFO videos. And you'll see that there's a whole technology out there to create them. And there are the easy tools you can get, like to be able to help create them. And so a lot of people who want to be working with some major production or video company or something like that is using a UFO case to be able to make their point and that they're worthy of being hired, I guess, or something. But you can go out and you can readily find those things out. In fact, I'm going to be talking about them tomorrow in my local UFO meeting, but we're actually doing a show on video analysis next week. I'm getting recorded with the History Channel. And, so, I mean, this is the plagued problem that we've had with technology and the internet that we didn't have back when I got started in the 60s. You know, you didn't have the internet, so you couldn't. And we didn't have a lot of very good cameras, by the way. So, I mean, when you got a UFO photograph or something like that back then, you could do something with it and look at it and really determine something. But now everything is CGI and everything is easily faked, and it makes our jobs as serious UFO researchers that much harder. And we're spending all our time debunking the crap that's out there on YouTube that's being designed to be able to get into your pocketbook.
Oh, I know. I mean, I tried when the internet really started getting popular with this maybe 10, 15 years ago, I tried to keep up with it, and it was just a full-time job sifting out all the noise.
It is.
Finally, I gave up. I went, well, we can't depend on practically anything out there. And yet, you know, there might be some really good stuff out there. If once in a while I still do this, and I'll find something that goes, oh, that is pretty odd. There's, somebody asked us on the forums once at the Paracast community forums, how come there are no dash cam videos? So I started looking, and after going through about 400 of them, I did find a couple of things that were like, yeah, that looks pretty legitimate, you know, but again, not much information, no witness contact,
right.
You know, so what are you supposed to do?
Well, I dismiss it. I mean, ultimately, it's a situation. Yeah, you're right. There's over 6 million UFO videos out on YouTube alone. That was according, I got that, 6 million. Now, how are you going to go sift Do you think in your lifetime you could ever sift through 6 million? And by the time you finished your lifetime, it would be up to 12 million.
Okay, you know what I've been doing on YouTube lately? I gave up trying to find legit information there. So yeah, what I do is I find old videos. I find Ringo Starr's All-Star Band in Concert or Jeff Lynne's Revitalized ELO. Or, and you'll remember this because you're old enough, Rich, I find all these sci-fi TV shows, Saturday morning sci-fi shows on YouTube, like Captain Video and his Video Rangers and Space Patrol, which was really, really, really good with good acting. It had some really good actors in there. Space Patrol was done live on ABC in the 50s. Look for it. And look for some of the concepts, like in one episode, they're actually fighting a villain who's made up of some kind of silicon life form. I mean, they got into stuff that's beyond what they would normally present to kids. Or this one, Commando Kuhi, Sky Marshal of the Universe. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They all use the rocket suit from King of the Rocket Man from Republic Pictures.
It's amazing. Like, you're right. I mean, you can find old episodes of everything out there. It's just amazing. It's a great tool for that. But again, using it for science or trying to figure out anything about UFOs, forget it. We struggle. I mean, that's why scientists get turned off, if you would. I mean, who wants to be connected to anything that's crazy as that? And,
might be some hope, though, in the future. Again, going back to this wisdom of the crowd idea, if we combine that with AI technology, and some of the AI computing that's coming out now, and web crawlers, hypothetically, we should be able to create a system, an automated system that could crawl the web and apply that AI technology to all of the examples out there and then rate them as on a scale and that could get our attention of the very best ones.
Randall, we're getting close to the technology where we might be able to create that sort of scenario, because right now YouTube is useless. If you want to find legitimate UFO sightings or videos, it's not going to happen. Rich, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.